You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. During this legislative session, one could argue that Idaho legislators have made moves to give themselves more power in spite of the express will of Gem State voters. Now, some of those examples of what some are calling legislative overreach are legislators wanting to put mandates around Medicaid expansion and the potential passing of Senate Bill 1159, which makes it more difficult to get a voter initiative on the ballot. Joining me live in studio to talk more about legislative overreach is Concordia Law School professor McKay Cunningham. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
So you recently wrote an op-ed and you outlined, in your opinion, how Idaho lawmakers are using their power to really gain what you say even more power.
This legislative session, perhaps more than any that I've seen in recent history, that has precisely been the case. I'll give you three principal examples, of a couple of which you alluded to just a moment ago. But partisan gerrymandering in this state since 1994 has been done by an independent commission, and the legislature has moved recently to bring that back into partisan hands. So it's also Medicaid expansion, a lot of news with regard to Medicaid expansion. And finally, the ballot initiative process, sometimes known as SB 1159. With regard to Medicaid expansion in particular, the Idaho legislature refused to put that to write a statute to fill that Medicaid gap. And so Idahoans took it into their own hands and, through a voter initiative, passed it into law. And almost immediately thereafter, it was challenged in court, went straight to the Idaho Supreme Court, and the Idaho Supreme Court validated the measure. But instead of abiding by the will of the Idahoan people, and instead of abiding by that Idaho Supreme Court judgment, the Idaho legislature has moved to severely undermine Medicaid expansion.
And then from there, a lot of people call the Senate Bill 1159 the, quote, Revenge on Voters Act, because this looks at really looking at having to get more representation, more signatures going to more districts, less time to get these signatures. And what people who went out and knocked on doors with Medicaid expansion, what they've said right here on our program is that they barely got the signatures the way that the law is written right now.
As is currently written, this is a tremendously difficult thing to do. I mean, we have had the possibility of voter initiatives for well over 100 years here in Idaho, and we have about, on average, one in every 8 years does a voter initiative get to the public, get on the ballot. Mm-hmm. It's not something that is being abused, and it's very, very difficult to do. I teach constitutional law, and I oftentimes require my students to read the Constitution and to answer a lot of questions. One of those questions is, what surprises you after reading the Constitution? And they will say, it's kind of boring. they'll say that
it's not a good read.
Right. That they expected all this flowery language about fundamental rights and civil liberties, but it's more about structure and a framework of government. They will come to see that that structure and framework of government is the most important civil liberty, because it separates powers. Yes, it separates one department from the other so that you cannot aggregate power into one entity. This is precisely what the voter initiative process here in Boise does. It is a check on the legislative branch. It is a way to separate powers. And the legislature recently has moved to accumulate power in itself.
And doing it without the will of the people, in the sense of what I mean by that is, we go back to Medicaid expansion. This was difficult to get on the ballot to begin with. And then you get 61% yes. And from a legal standpoint and even a constitutional standpoint, aren't voters supposed to be able to have the right and the ability to do something like this?
The Idaho Constitution specifically provides for the voter initiative process. So it's in our state constitution that this voter initiative process can occur. And you heard testimony in front of the Idaho State Legislature suggesting that this new bill, SB 1159, essentially destroys that Idaho constitutional right. Now, that's an argument that will probably play out in the court. Does 1159 actually constructively take this right to a voter initiative off the Constitution? If so, then it's a violation of the Idaho State Constitution.
I'm speaking with Concordia Law School professor McKay Cunningham. And speaking of your point, is it unconstitutional? In fact, before they did the trailer bill last week, four former Idaho's attorney general came out saying that SB 1159, as it was written before the trailer bill, was potentially unconstitutional.
That's a fantastic point. I listened to all of the testimony before the legislature, and 9 out of 10 people stood up and, in no uncertain terms, urged the legislature to not do this, to not destroy the voter initiative process. The legislature was not responsive to the people, but only after they received a letter, the one that you're referring to, where four former Idaho attorneys general urged the legislature not to do this, has the legislature moved off of its original point, but only by so much. It still is a proposed bill that will severely limit the right of Idahoans to have their own voter initiative process.
And then when we look at gerrymandering, when it's taken out of the hands of a neutral party who draws the lines, and it goes back to a partisan vote of how we structure our districts in the state of Idaho. First off, this is a problem across the country. But
yes.
Also, how does that potentially keep people in power longer? Because is that what it could potentially do?
You bet. Gerrymandering is one of the most pernicious problems to a representative democracy, period. What it does is allows legislators to draw their own voting districts. They get to determine who their voters will be, as opposed to vice versa. And if that's the case, they're never going to be voted out of office. They draw a district to make sure that they are reelected regardless of what they do. And it makes a legislature that is not responsive, that is not representative of the people. Idahoans recognized this a long time ago. They banished partisan gerrymandering back in 1994. And it's no coincidence that they did that through a voter initiative. Right? I mean, the Idaho legislature would never have, on their own, ceded that power. They would never have said, well, we do not want the power to draw our own district. So the only way that we could get it done was through a voter initiative. And now the Idaho legislature has moved to erode that and to put redistricting back into the hands of the legislature outside of this independent commission.
Now, look, to be a devil's advocate here, we are a red state. We are a very Republican state. You get outside of, the Treasure Valley, the Wood River Valley, you see that. And in that sense, why does any of this then matter?
I love that question. First of all, legislatures sometimes are not responsive to the people. I mean, I think that this is embodied in this initiative proposal that is now in front of the legislature, because the people don't want this, and yet it is going forward. There are other instances or issues in which what is good for the legislature is bad for the people. Think about term limits. Mm-hmm. What legislature is ever going to say, well, we need to limit the terms that we have to be in power? You have that also with gerrymandering, like we just talked about, campaign finance reform. There are issues at which what is good for the people is not necessarily good for the legislature. So even though we have 80% of our legislature Republicans, it doesn't mean that the legislature is always going to be responsive to the people.
How then can people have their voices heard and make change? Are you going to depress me now, everyone that's listening?
I love this question. And I think what we're doing here, I mean, the fourth branch of government is the news media. We need to be aware as Idahoans. We need to rise. We need to know which senators, which representatives in our state legislature voted for this despite the will of the people, and we need to hold them accountable.
And by doing that, it is ultimately voting.
It's voting. And we need to make sure that that gerrymandering is not reintroduced into how we do things here in Idaho, because then voting itself is a solution that's not all that viable.
Do you think sometimes, too, this is so hard to keep track of as an average citizen, and things, because our legislature is fast and furious, and people may not always be able to keep up or know or understand, does that play into it, or do we need to be more engaged? But it is difficult.
It is very difficult. There have been some interesting studies about the effects of social media and the internet with regard to how local politics works. I mean, there is such an onslaught of new news every 10 seconds that it's hard to keep something in the mind such that it actually makes a difference at the ballot box.
But ultimately, what's happening in our legislature, and when we look at things like gerrymandering, we look at SB 1159, these could have huge impact on every Idahoan, yes?
They could. That's why, I think it's very important. I think news programs like this and what you see in the local news media, it's being covered in the local news media. It really ought to. I just hope that Idahoans see it and respond to it.
I want to thank you for coming in and talking about this. Very interesting. My guest today, Concordia Law School Professor McKay Cunningham, talking about legislative overreach. Thanks so much.
Gemma, thank you.